Come on, let's give God some crazy praise in this house this morning. I don't know if you recognized it or not, but Jesus is here. Okay, 10 of y'all recognized it. That's awesome. For the rest of y'all, tell the neighbor next to you, Jesus is here. And when he's here, anything can happen, right? What an amazing thing to have Jesus in our life. And it was a great Easter. Maybe the best Easter ever. It was just phenomenal. And just so many people gave their life to Christ, was baptized. It was just crazy. And I don't even know all the people in the last couple of weeks that's given their life to Christ. And if you have, we'd like to connect with you, because it just happened all over the building. Two Sundays in a row, which is awesome. And we just want to make sure that we get connected with you and help you walk out and live out your journey. You know, this relationship with God's a journey. It's not a destination. And I've been on this journey for a long time. I'm still in the journey. We'll be in the journey until Jesus comes. And he continues to grow us, develop us, raise us up. And he has a purpose and plan for our life. And we want to connect with you to help you in that quest for the journey that God has for you in your life. So I'm excited about that. Are you excited about that? Okay, awesome. I'm just going to wait a minute till y'all get excited about that. Are y'all excited about people being saved, set free, delivered? Yay for Jesus. Come on. Come on, that's so good. I'm not going to be very long today, because I realize it's 11:52, and I'm okay with that. I'm so happy that our worship team loves to worship, and they have a heart for worship, and they go after God, and it's just a beautiful thing. We never want to cut that short. And I just love when Jesus comes and shows up. And he said he inhabits the praises of his people. And he's more concerned about your worship and you connecting with him than anything else in the world. And how many's been in church for like forever? I've been around church, been in church. If sermons could save us, we'd all be saved. Come on, can I get a better amen? And I know the Bible says we're saved by the foolishness of preaching, but there's something that has to connect more than just a message and then checking the block. And I was reading an article this week that was pretty interesting. Said that Easter is the most attended service out of the year, and the week after Easter is the least attended service of the year. And I understand that, you know, people are, especially for us in our culture where we live, because it's spring break, people are going on vacation, and I'm cool with all that. I had a vacation myself this week, and it's cool to go and relax and have a good time and all that. But I don't ever want us to become the church where we check the box. Well, we showed up, we checked the box. I want us to always go after the presence of God. I want us to always go after what God's speaking. I want us to always celebrate what God is doing. In the first service today, I took a minute because I just felt that I was just felt compelled to go over and speak to this couple, because I missed them a lot. And I didn't really know why. I just walked over during worship. My wife tells me, when you walk around church and shake people's hand, it distracts everybody. But sometimes God tells me to do it, so that trumps her. Sometimes it's just me, though, because I like people. But I walked over and I just said, hey, just want to shake your hand. And so they stopped and they said, we got a testimony we got to tell you. We got just a great announcement. So what is that? She said, 11 weeks ago, I came and had prayer so that we could have a baby. Today, I'm 11 weeks pregnant. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise. Amen. Amen. My brother and I have been praying about a situation for several months now, and about a board that, you know, he felt like he was supposed to sit on, and but didn't know how it was all going to work out. We've been praying into it, and he did get elected to put and vetted and put on the board. So I was telling him yesterday, and I kind of felt bad after I told him. I said, like, we prayed over this, and you got on the board, and you never told me that, you know, you never celebrated that with me. And he felt real bad about that. It wasn't the point. The point was this, is that when we have a testimony and we pray for things, there's following up after that. We need to celebrate what God's doing. Because when we celebrate it, what we're saying to the heavens, we want more. Anybody here today? Come on, second service. Y'all got to get in the flow, because we had some powerful things happen first service. Y'all better jump on up in this water. And so so we need to celebrate. And look, I don't want you to get them testify right now, but I did want you, if you have a if you can testify that God has been good, why don't you just lift your hand right now, and then with the other hand raised, give God some praise for that. Come on, he's so good to us. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. I'm going to shorten this message today just a little bit. I'm going to kind of compact it here a little bit. But I love when Jesus was on the earth, how he was going about doing miracles. And I love the stories of the life of Jesus. I guess some of my favorite reading in the Bible is to read through the Gospels and just, I've read them thousands of times, and to just read through the Gospels and see the things that Jesus did and his love and his compassion for people and how he was crazy about people. You know, Jesus didn't do miracles because he wanted something, he wanted to pull a rabbit out of the hat. Jesus did miracles because people had needs. Yeah, come on. Anybody here today? Oh, yeah. Come on, I want to get an amen. 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 Can anybody play the organ? I might need a little organ today. Come on, somebody. And so when Jesus went about doing miracles, there was always this compassionate heart that he had to change people's life. That was what it was all about. And so we read and we see the stories, and then we know, then we come to the cross, the greatest story ever told. What great love that he had for us, that he died for us, that we could have this crazy, incredible life. And in this place this morning, we just had this baptism of the crazy love of Jesus since early this morning, since the very first note that was sung this morning. And you can just feel it in the air, this crazy love of Jesus. And just so powerful. And in John 2, you don't have to go there, but in John 2, Jesus in his ministry came to a lady. Her name was Mary Magdalene. And when he met Mary, she was Bible says she was demon possessed. And he cast out 7 demons out of this woman. And so after he cast the demons out of this woman, this is the part I love about Jesus. He didn't cast the demons out of this woman and abandon her, but she came with him and began to walk with him. Come on, you know, Jesus won't just set you free. He wants to walk with you. He wants to hang out with you. And so Jesus came and she was hanging out with Jesus. And she was really crazy about Jesus, obviously. And she was so thankful. She was one of the few women that were hanging out with him. And I should say the many women. There was a list of women that were hanging out with Jesus and that were supporting Jesus. And I was studying that. I was like, these women were going with Jesus. They were supporting him financially. They were supporting the ministry. And they were close to Jesus. And then Jesus comes to this part of life where you see everyone that he was healing, all the miracles that he was doing, everything supernatural going on in his life, and the same people that he was healing were the people that crucified him. The same people that he was touching their lives, they were the ones that were shouting, "Crucify Jesus." And here's the thought I love about the Lord and his crazy love. And while he was hanging on the cross, Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." The very people that Jesus was, the very people that was causing Jesus pain, he was forgiving. The very people that was crucifying him, he was forgiving. He was loving people who did not have his back. But you know what he was doing? He was getting ready for a comeback. It was a setup for a comeback. But there was this one girl, her name was Mary, and she stayed, Mary Magdalene, and she stayed with Jesus throughout the whole deal. When all the disciples abandoned him, when everybody ran away, here was this Mary, because she was so thankful for the encounter that she had with Jesus. And we find in John 20 that Jesus is very intentional with encounters. Now, some theologians believe that Jesus had over 500 encounters between the resurrection and his ascension. Now, in that 40-day period, it begins with Mary and John 20, and she's stood at the tomb, and she's weeping. And the scripture says, and she wept, stooped in, and looked in the tomb, and she saw 2 angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing, but watch this, But she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" And supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary, Mary, Mary." Well, wait, something just happened in the atmosphere. Mary, I feel the, whoo, that just went all over me. And Jesus turned and said to him, and she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but I go to my brother, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." Now, I love what the Passion Translation says that. It says, "My Father is your Father and my God is your God." Now, there's a connection that's going on here. When she hears her name, she has a connection to Jesus, but then Jesus makes a connection with her that, look, I'm going to my Father, but he's your Father too. Yes. That's right. Amen. You're in the family, girl. You're a part of the bigger picture here. That's so good. That's better than you said amen. And at the same, and in that same time, Mary had an unbelievable transformational encounter with Jesus. An unbelievable transformational encounter with Jesus. In Luke 8, soon afterwards, he went on through the cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of God. And the 12 of them were with him also. And the woman who had 7 devils, this Mary Magdalene, now is in a second encounter with Jesus. And she's standing before the Lord. And now there's something supernatural happening that had not happened even in the first encounter. At that moment, Mary thought, hey, you know what? My life is done because I'm standing here at the tomb of the one that I've connected with. I'm standing here at the tomb and my Savior has died. And let me say it to you like this. She was probably thinking, everything that I know about religion and everything I know about God and everything I know about the supernatural is laying in this tomb, or it was. And now they've moved him, and she was so upset and she was so disappointed that the Savior had died. But over here, if you don't hear anything else I say today, hear what I'm about to tell you right now. You have to be very cautious in your disappointments. Because when you're in the middle of your disappointments and you're captivated by the disappointments in your life, you may very well be missing a divine appointment. You can never let your disappointments ever hinder you from your divine appointments. All of us go through situations in life. There's in this room right now, there's people that's got brokenness, they got all kinds of problems in their life, there's situations, and there's nobody in this room that does not have a problem. Every one of us has got some kind of problem. Every one of us is walking through some kind of situation. All of us are on a journey today, and we can't let the disappointments with life ever become a hindrance to divine appointments with the Lord. We have to keep our ears open. We have to keep our heart open. We have to be willing to step into that place where God, when God speaks to us, that we can hear what he's saying. And it was at this moment that Mary was looking in the tomb and her disappointment was overtaking her that something supernatural happened. And this is what it was. When he said, "Mary," when he said, "Mary," right then at that moment, she heard her name. She went back to the foundation of what this is all about. This is not about church. This is not about all those things. This is about having a relationship with Father. This is about having a relationship with God. And at that moment, she knew that he was speaking to her. And I'm going to tell you something today. I remember in my own personal life, as I went through life and so many things happened in my life. I grew up in church. I was in church probably with 3 days of being born. I was in church. And I went to church my entire life. And I remember when I was 7 years old, I was sitting in my mother's lap in a Sunday school room when the Lord filled me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was an amazing day, but there was still this whole thing of going through life. And my connection with God was at church. My connection with God was going to the temple, going to the house of the Lord, even seeing the things of God, and hearing the sermons, and hearing the preaching, and hearing the song sang, and all of these things. But at age 22 years old, I was away from God, a long ways away from God, and there was an encounter with God when I heard God call my name. Let me tell you something. That encounter was not in a church service. Matter of fact, it was in the last place that you would think that you would ever hear God. But in that moment when God called my name, I knew that my relationship with God was something more than just this first encounter. There was something more to this relationship with God than just going through life. And I could tell you something, we can be free and we can be ready to go to heaven and have salvation in our life and attend church every week and go through all those things, but we can be heaven ready and living in hell. God wants us to be more than heaven ready. He wants to live in happiness and joy and peace and understanding and relationship with Him. And the only way we're going to live in those places of heavenly things is to have an encounter with God. There has to be this encounter that you know without a shadow of a doubt that in your mind that I have been with Jesus. I have touched the hem of His garment. I have felt His presence. I have talked with Him. And so many times in our disappointment, we're looking in the tomb and we think our life is over. Every hope is gone. We're helpless. There's nowhere to turn. It's over for us. And we're looking in the tomb and we're saying our life is doomed. And Jesus is standing right there in front of us. He's standing in our presence. He's waiting on us. His purpose has already been applied to our life. You got to hear that word today. His purpose is already applied to our life. And with this crazy love that He has for us, He stays and He remains until we hear His voice. So good. It's so good. God wants to have an encounter with us this morning. God wants to touch your life in a way that completely changes how you see Him. Completely changes how you think about Him. He wants to be intimate with you. And Mary was missing the moment because of a disappointment. There's nothing more that the enemy wants than for us to get caught up in our pain. To get caught up in the middle of our pain and our grief and our woes. And our circumstances and miss the moment. Religion will distract us from relationship. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. I'm going to tell you something today, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but we, you know why we go running after things? We go chasing after new relationships. We go find other churches. We go run over here. We go run over there. We're seeking all these things because there's this thing that, oh, I'm feeling empty. I got to go to another church because I'm not getting fed. I got to go find a new spouse because I'm not in love anymore. I got to go get some change in my life. I got to have some new excitement. I need to go to Disney World, and I'm not talking about the real Disney World. I'm talking about fantasy world. I got to go to this fantasy world in my mind somewhere, and I got to chase after something because there's this emptiness inside of me. Let me tell you, my friend, there's only one place. There's only one place that you can go, and you can feel the void of that emptiness in your life, and that's into when you come into relationship with the Lord God, our Savior, and you have a relationship with Him that's on a daily basis. And you feel His presence and you walk with Him. Listen, life is full of disappointments. Don't get me wrong. We ministered this in this first service over marriages. I just feel like God has spoke to me today about marriages being healed and being restored. And listen, I know people look at Pastor Angela and myself and they say, oh, what a cute little couple. They're just, hey, listen, our life has not always been easy either. I used to tell people, look, that first year of marriage, I was like the guy that climbed up the climbed up in the tree with a bobcat, and I said, shoot up here and kill one of us. Give one of us some relief. Come on, it was tough. It was tough. It's not always easy. But we got to come someplace where we take the mask off of our pain, where we don't just keep putting the mask on and keep applying the mask and walking through our little religious world and pretending that we got it all together and say, Jesus, here I am. I'm hopeless. I'm in need of you. I want you in my life. I want you, Lord, to touch me. I want you, Lord, to speak to me. I want you, Lord. You, only you can make it all well. And so we look in the tomb of our despair and we think our life is over, but Jesus is standing right next to us. In John 10, and I won't use all the scripture, I'll just allude to it here for a moment. The scripture says, the sheep know my voice. The sheep, they know my voice. They can hear my voice. I'm going to ask you this question this morning. Can you hear the voice of God? Can you recognize when Jesus is standing in your midst? Can you recognize the voice of the Lord? Heather, you can come. When he speaks your name, you know what he says when he sees you speak your name? He's saying, come close to me. Come close to me, G. Come close to me. Come close to me. And he just whispers your name. Come close to me. I'm right here. I got you. I find it very interesting that he asked two questions. He said, why are you weeping? And who are you seeking? I want to ask you this question this morning. Why are you weeping? And who are you seeking? Are you weeping over things that you think of this world that's passed you by, brokenness, hurts, pains, disappointments? Are you focused upon those things? Why are you weeping? Why have you got your mind set up on those things? I'm standing right here. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to walk out of your life. I'm never abandoning you. I told you that I would be with you always. Why are you weeping? What are you seeking? What are you looking for? What is it that you're trying to find? And what really Jesus was saying is everything that you're crying over and everything that you're trying to find is standing in front of you. And that's my word to you this morning. Everything that you're trying to find, everything that you're crying over, everything that you need is standing right in front of you. His crazy love is standing in front of you. His healing power is present in this place. His joy can overtake you. You see, the enemy wants us to believe a lie. There's a passage of scripture in the Bible that says, because of our sin, there's a great gulf between us and God. And a very legalistic preaching that even we've heard, that because you sinned, because you've done wrong, God has abandoned you. Because there's a great gulf between you and God. Well, that's not what that scripture means. What it means is, it's because of our sin, the enemy has made us to believe that we're not worthy of him. And this great gulf between us is this separation of our heart. Because God hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't left us. He never just says, I'm going to disown you. Hey, listen, my kids, as amazing as they are, there's been a few times they've disappointed me, but I didn't say, hey, you're not my kid anymore. Hey, you didn't do what I wanted you to do, so I'm done with you. There's been times that God may have been disappointed in us. And most of his disappointment is because he knows what's best for us. His plan is greater. And in those times of disappointment, he never gets rid of us. He never discards us. He comes and stands in our presence. And he waits on us to say, wait a minute, Jesus. Did I just hear you call my name? Was you talking to me? Yes. I'm right here in your presence. It is well. It's good. I got you. Come let me hold you in my arms. Come let me touch you. Come let me speak to you. It is well. It is well. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. I want you to be very quiet for just a moment. And I want you to hear Jesus speak your name. I believe that he's come to speak to you this morning. He wants to have an encounter with you today. And every day, not just today.